Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in New Ulm, Minnesota, and is the Vice President and Director of Missions for Renewal Ministries. He's the co-host of two weekly TV shows and the host of a daily radio show. He's an international speaker and author of a number of books and CDs. But most importantly, he's a husband to Debbie and the dad of four children. His name, Peter Herbeck, and we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible, a News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Peter Herbeck, Vice President, Director of Missions for Renewal Ministries. Peter, welcome. It's an honor to have you once again.
Thank you, Jack. It's great to be back.
Can we start by you offering or leading us in a little opening prayer this evening?
Oh, certainly. Certainly, Father in heaven. Father in heaven, we thank you for this moment, this opportunity. You are the Father of us all. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. We ask you to bless our time together, help us to communicate what will touch the hearts and minds of those who listen, that your love may be experienced and felt. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Can we start by talking about your mom and your dad and the biggest things you learned from each, please?
Sure. Well, Mom and Dad obviously had a huge impact on us. They're both from the great generation. My mom and dad raised seven kids. When my mother passed in 93, my dad passed in 97, my mom passed in 93, they had managed to have 73 children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and great-great-grandchildren. And just about all of them engaged in the life of the faith and being raised by great parents. And so I think that one of the biggest things that they taught us was the importance and centrality of family. My mom was most of her life a stay-at-home mother. She was a devout woman of faith. She was quiet but very loving, steady, constant, consistent. My father was had been a tank commander in Patton's Third Army, Battle of the Bulge, and those kinds of things, and Dad was a little more complex. My dad was successful in business. He was very active in his community. He was a politician for 12 years, but he also battled when he got out of the war. He battled alcoholism, but at a certain point in his life, by God's grace and mercy, he became sober. And it was kind of the central series of events that happened that changed our entire family, the seven children that Mom and Dad were raising, me included. That radically changed our lives and helped us encounter and experience the love of God and the fatherhood of God at a deeper level, and really changed us forever. And I'd say there's many things I could say about my father. He was courageous. He was a leader. He taught us how to respect mom, family life, how to respect authority in a healthy sense. But I think the biggest thing, at my father's funeral, at our little hometown in New Ulm, Minnesota, in the cathedral, it was packed. And my mother had asked me if I would give the eulogy after at the close of the Mass. And literally, it was like wall-to-wall people in the place. And I said, you know, many of you know my father, and you know him as a community leader. You know him as a man who helped all the schools here and did lots of things for the city, helped build the fire station and this, that, and the other thing. And those are good things, but I think one thing that we as a family know deeply is that maybe my father's greatest contribution to our family is when, at a certain point in his life, he humbled himself and he did what was very difficult for almost all of us men to do, and that was to be able to be honest about his own brokenness. And he humbled himself and said for the first time that I was aware of, saying, I need help. I need help. And he opened his heart, and he was honest about his own human struggle, and turned his heart toward God. And so that humility really is the thing that changed our lives. When he said, yes, I'm Joe Herbeck, I'm an alcoholic, I need God, at the center of my life, and I need help to live one day at a time. That was the radical transforming moment that we still as a family, my siblings and I and the kids and the grandkids have all been deeply impacted by and eternally grateful for it.
Peter, speaking of I need help, tell us about Renewal Ministries, please.
Renewal Ministries is a Catholic mission organization located in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Our focus is on the promotion of Catholic renewal and renewing the church and evangelization, that is, trying to live out the Great Commission and helping other people do it. We do that in a variety of ways with our team here, Ralph Martin, myself, Sister Ann Shields, Peter Burak, and a set of others. And what we do two daily radio shows. That's kind of the start. Sister Ann Shields does a 15-minute radio show called Food for the Journey. I do a 15-minute show called Fire on the Earth. I do two television shows on the Eternal Word Television Network. One is called The Choices We Face, which Ralph started over 30 years ago. It's a guest-oriented program. And then along with three other men, I created a program called Crossing the Goal. With Danny Abramowitz, the old football player for the New Orleans Saints, Curtis Martin, who is the founder and director of Focus, a Fellowship of Catholic University Students, and Brian Patrick, who is involved in News Nightly for EWTN. So we did that, and then we're working with, in about probably 50 different countries around the world at this time, in Eastern Europe, Africa, Asia, the Middle East, working with bishops, priests, and lay people on the ground in those countries, helping promote the new evangelization and helping extend the gospel and extend the mercy and mission of Jesus in the world. So that's the kind of the center of what we do.
We're talking to Peter Herbeck. When we come back, we're going to ask him about tomorrow, Father's Day. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Peter Herbeck, internationally known, but most importantly, husband to Debbie and the dad of four. Peter, tomorrow we celebrate Father's Day. What do you say to the fathers listening tonight?
Dad, you are irreplaceable. Every father is irreplaceable in the life of his children. We're living in a kind of crazy time in the culture, where society is, you might say, Jack, losing its mind in a certain way, trying to convince us that fathers are easily interchangeable, replaceable, and the rest, but that's absolutely a lie. Every single social indicator possible makes clear that the role of the father is absolutely central and crucial, irreplaceable in the life of every child. Every statistic that it talks about a child that grows up in a home where there's a mother and a father, whether it's in areas of education, whether it's in areas of just psychological and emotional health, what's in the area of crime or drug use or premarital sex, whatever it is, dad has a huge role. And I think today sometimes dads can feel like that's not clear in society, and so it makes it difficult to see it and to see it in ourselves. And so even though each one of us as fathers, we have our own weaknesses, we have our own struggles in life, that doesn't disqualify us from being able to have the kind of impact on our children that God himself intended for us to have. And our children need us. They need our love. They need our consistent help and direction. They need our courage. They need our capacity to help them face the world and to stand with them. And it's absolutely foundational. That's the thing that's most on my heart, these guys.
The late, great Robert Schuller, Crystal Cathedral, Possibility Thinking, often said, and I quote, "The number one thing a dad can do for his children is to love their mom."
Mm-hmm.
Peter, why so?
Yeah, no, that's very good. I think it's one of the things that my father, he insisted on, was the love and respect of mom, because what happens is in a marriage, and when a husband and wife, when a father or a husband loves and respects his mother, his wife, our mother, what we end up seeing is that that's the foundation of unity, and it gives the cue to all the children of the need to respect and to love her as well. It's the foundation of the unity in the marriage, which is the foundation of family life. And if a father treats his husband treats his wife with respect, with love, with tenderness, with kindness. That's exactly what the children are going to see, and that's the kind of thing that will form their relationship not only with their mother, but also it will prepare them for their own marriages and understand what marriage is really all about.
We're talking to Peter Herbeck. Peter, how can a father today give his children a faith?
Ah, yeah, that's a really good question. How can you give your children a pass on the faith? I think it starts with having our own authentic relationship with Christ. That's where it begins. I think it's, as many people in your program over the years have probably said, Jack, you know, faith is caught. It's, as C.S. Lewis used to say, it's like spreading a good infection. And it's something that if a father lives from the core of his being, from his heart, and if Christ is his first love, and he's seeking first the kingdom of God in his home, and he sees his home as a domestic church, as a community of disciples, and that your children are your children, but you're also raising them as disciples and followers of Christ, and they will only follow you if you're actually moving in that direction yourself. And so you can't make disciples. You can't lead your children to become something that you are not. It doesn't mean you have to be perfect, but what it means is that you're living that pattern of life, that way of life on a daily basis with God. As St. Paul says, trying to make it your aim each day to please the Lord. And if your children, I mean, children are deeply impacted and impressed by what their father loves, whatever that might be, they're going to remember. And it's my experience, which is seen in the lives of many friends, many brothers who raised families or in the process of raising their families, that in every statistic that's out there that we see today is that the most significant indicator of whether or not a young person will carry on, will carry the faith beyond teen years and into university and actually live it as an adult, the number one indicator is the father's faith himself. If he's not just going through the motions, if he's not asking of his children something he himself is not living, then the faith won't get passed on. But if he's living it from his heart, it will be contagious, and his children will trust God as they see their own father trusting God and following him. I remember a number of years ago, my wife Debbie and I were at Our Lady of Good Counsel Parish in Plymouth, Michigan, with Father John Ricardo, and he was interviewing Debbie and I about being parents and raising kids and passing on the faith, and my oldest daughter, who's in that parish, just happened to show up right about that time from work. She's a nurse. And Father John saw her come in. She had her scrubs on, and he said, come on up here. You know, her name is Sarah. And she came up on stage and sat down next to Father John. He said, give me one thing that you most remember in growing up that has allowed you and helped you live the faith today. She's a young mother. She's married. And she thought for a minute. She said, you know, the first thing, I think the most impactful thing was I used to get up early in the morning for school. I remember even in grade school and high school, and I remember seeing my dad in the living room in his chair in a corner just quietly reading his Bible. It kind of surprised me when she said it, you know, because it was just what I did. But I realized that the kind of thing that we hear all the time about when a father lives it, actually when a mother and father live it together, obviously that's the most important thing, and they're witnessing together as a couple the communion, the love of God the Father, and passing on something that's a living reality in their lives, not just a duty, but it's flowing from living with Christ. So every dad who's listening, if you want to have impact on passing the faith on to the kids, is say the more radically you live it, the yes that you continue to say to Jesus, and you go deeper in relationship with him, and you're living that pattern of life he's calling you to live as a disciple, that's the key right there.
We're talking to Peter Herbeck. If you want to learn more, www.renewalministries.net. Peter, I quote you now, technology is the new idol. Please.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a new idol because somehow it's we're so attached to it, and we act like we can't live without it. And it's a great challenge to family life. It's a great challenge to the faith. It's a great challenge. It's just a tool and an instrument, and it can be used for good. And we certainly shouldn't be afraid of it, but we should be wise and discerning in our use of it. And I think one of its most negative effects, it has a capacity to really undermine healthy social relationships right in the home, because everybody's living on their technology every day. It's very isolating. It provides, you know, quote unquote, a virtual community, but that's not real community. It's one of the most amazing things you hear these days is some of the leading characters who created some of the technology don't even let their children use the technology. And they're saying more openly than ever before the negative impact that it can have on us. You know, it can literally begin to rewire our brain. But one of the things I've noticed, Jack, in the last year, some of these key figures saying they're deeply concerned that the high level of attachment to technology is deconstructing our capacity to live in a healthy way socially, ironically. They call it social media. And so what it does in the home is it makes something else the center. Like, in order for me to be happy, in order for me to feel like I'm, you know, connected, I have to be on this machine as much as I can and be communicating with everybody. We forget the community that's right there. And it also disrupts silence a lot. So we're afraid. We're a society that's afraid to be silent and live in silence. And silence is the place out of which human relationships and community, conversation, expressions of love and tenderness, that's where it emerges from a quiet heart. And so it's a little bit like a Trojan horse in places that's bringing, you know, that gets within the four walls of the family. Not that we used to say that about TV, but this is infinitely more difficult to have to deal with, and it's very disruptive of those relationships. And so as a father has a unique role in being able to have a kind of vigilance, sort of standing on the wall, being alert, what's coming into my home and what's undermining the values that my wife and I are trying to pass on to our children, what's disturbing the peace that we want to have and the unity we want to have as a family, what's clogging up the pathways of love and communication and life that we have. We want to manage it or get rid of it, right, if that's what needs to happen, because we have key goals. And I think fathers are the first sort of protectors of that beautiful culture you're trying to build as a family. And it's that way of life that you have as a family that will, what the kids will live in, and that's what will form them. So
we're talking to Peter Herbeck, the host of the daily radio show Fire on Earth, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, with Peter Herbeck, the co-host of two weekly TV shows, The Choices We Face and Crossing the Goal. Peter, right at the end of the last segment, you said, a father has a unique role. What do you say to a father tonight who has abandoned his kids?
Yeah. Well, I know any man who's in that position and they put himself in that position, what the details are, of course, we don't know. I know in some way deep down, whether he's able to admit it or not, there's deep wounds within inside him. And I'm sure he carries a lot of shame, a lot of pain, a lot of confusion. And I would just say this, that one of the most important things you can do is to turn your heart to Christ and to God the Father. Let Jesus help you experience in your own life the love of the Father, to help you come to a place of forgiveness and healing in your own life, and to give you the grace and energy you need to, despite what the past has produced, to be able to now live a new future, to step into what God's plan and vision is. Those are still your children. Whether or not it seems that way in your particular circumstance, these children, and no matter how old they are, they need you. They, you know, you're their father. You help bring them into the world. Your identities are caught up forever, whether they want it that way or not at this moment, or whether you want it that way or not. And despite what circumstances brought you to this point, the mistakes you've made or other people have made, I want to encourage you to commit yourself to follow in the footsteps of Christ, to lay down your life in whatever way you can for those children, to do whatever you can to reestablish relationship, to do whatever you can to bring about reconciliation and to help them understand how much you love them, how much God loves them. You know, I think one of the most important things that ever happened in my role as a father in my family was learning how to ask my children for forgiveness when I clearly did things that needed to be repented of. You know? And it was some of the most healing moments and most important moments in my life as a father, because I didn't have to be perfect, and I didn't have to cover up my imperfection and to project a kind of image that I'm perfect. But like everybody, I have clay feet. I'm a broken human being. I carry my own wounds in life. I'm going to disappoint people at times. I'm not yet complete in Christ. But to be able to bring forgiveness and to help that process happen is one of the greatest gifts you can give to your children to live with, to learn how to forgive and to learn how to receive forgiveness. It's just fundamental to human, to healing the human heart, and to securing and protecting human relationships, the family being the central building block. And all we have to do is look around and just see how blown up the family is in our society and culture. And we can see how wounded human beings are. Look at how many of our cultural idols, you know, the big names in Hollywood, you know, Harvey Weinstein or Bill Cosby, or look what happened to Anthony Bourdain and Robin Williams, the pain that's in the lives of people, and unable to be honest and to take the masks off and to open their hearts and to repent of habit patterns of life and habit patterns of sin in life that are a cause of so much pain and brokenness. And if you're still breathing, you still have time. And God wants you to come to Him to receive forgiveness and healing and to get the help you need to begin to restore your family in whatever way possible, and to restore the love of God in that context.
We're talking to Peter Herbeck. If you want to learn more, www.renewalministries.net. Peter, Father Ricardo, phenomenal human being, has talked a number of times about the elephant in the room, the unspoken epidemic, pornography. Please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's ubiquitous. It's kind of everywhere, and I think I travel a lot, Jack, all over the world, and work a lot with priests. And it doesn't matter what these days, what country it's in, whether it's the United States or it's China or Africa, this has become a global epidemic. And it's potent. There's powerful spiritual forces behind it. There's greedy human beings that are driving it. And men are susceptible to it because, one, we're visually attracted to women in different ways, but I think fundamentally the reason it's so potent, it starts with young boys now, is men don't know how to deal with loneliness. We're not comfortable talking about our emotional human needs. We don't have constructive ways of dealing with pain, with our wounds, with lack of intimacy and love in our lives. That's deep and that's authentic and real and healthy. And so we look for, we look to medicate it. We look to escape. We look to, we look for, in some ways it's looking for love in all the wrong places for lots of guys. And it has a power, pornography, as you know, you've probably talked about it on your program, the studies that are done. It has a power to really get us addicted to it because of what it does in the brain, the dopamine release that happens in the brain. They said it, one study I read, they said it has the same impact as someone who is taking crack cocaine. And so it's got a very addictive quality to it. And the vulnerability in men is loneliness, isolation, lack of genuine human intimacy and relationships. And so, of course, when we start falling into something like that, what does it do, Jack? It creates tremendous shame. And so men keep it secret, and they don't want to tell anybody. And that's the worst thing. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do. He wants to keep you isolated, wants to seduce you into it. Then once you're into it, you fall, you've violated your conscience, you're going to start feeling guilt and shame, and then he's going to try to drive you in the ground and say, you better not tell anybody. You know, you better not let anybody know what kind of person you are and what you just did. And then men stay hidden, their lives, they live double lives, and it disintegrates us. And we feel ashamed when we're near our wives or near our children because we're so conscious of our failure. I would just say, brothers, don't get caught in that trap. 70 times, 7 times a day, the Lord wants to be able to bring us in a place where we can receive his forgiveness. And the thing to do is make a decision with God's help to come out of the darkness and into the light. Find, whether it's a priest, find some other men you can trust and to be accountable to, and just tell someone the truth about what's going on in your life. Don't hide it. Get it out there. And get prayer, get guidance, and then you can set up, depending upon how serious the challenge and the difficulty is, you have to make very wise, practical decisions to help protect you, sort of to build a fence around yourself to be able to handle the temptations and being accountable, daily prayer, regular sacraments, battling it with fasting and prayer, and also learning how to have, being able to ask yourself, what am I looking for? Why do I keep going back there? What is it in my heart? What is my heart really saying to me? What is it that I really want and that's missing in my life? And often it's genuine human intimacy and love and community with others and coming out of deep loneliness and isolation and self-condemnation, things like that.
We're talking to Peter Herbeck, the author of When the Spirit Comes in Power, and the co-author with his wife Debbie of When the Spirit Speaks, Touched by God's Word. Peter. The Spirit. Talk to us about the Holy Spirit.
You know, Pope Benedict XVI said the culmination of Jesus' entire ministry was the day of Pentecost. And what happened at the day of Pentecost when Jesus, at the right hand of God the Father, St. Peter preaches in Acts 2 that day. He says, when the Holy Spirit had come upon the apostles, and as St. John Paul II said, the Holy Spirit stirred the deepest energy of the apostles and thrust them into the marketplace to begin to tell the world about the beauty, majesty, and grace of Jesus and the offer of forgiveness that he's bringing to the world. And Pope Benedict pointed that out to say this is the culmination because Jesus said he was going to send the promise of the Father. And the promise of the Father is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, the love between the Father and the Son. And Paul, in many places, speaks so beautifully about the Holy Spirit. He said, we live with hope because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And here we're talking today about fatherhood. And the fundamental thing the Holy Spirit does is reveal to us the glory and majesty of Jesus. It helps us say yes to Christ, who is the Father's beloved Son. And then Jesus wants to lead us to the Father. Jesus gives us in the Holy Spirit a share in his own life and his Spirit. And that beautiful passage in Romans 8, where St. Paul says that the Spirit, God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, speaks to my spirit and yours and teaches us that God is our Father. And our spirit cries out, Abba, Father. What's happening there? Jesus, who from the cross perfectly surrendered to the Father in trust his life because he knows the Father is utterly trustworthy and love itself. And he gives us that Holy Spirit to teach us that God is our Father and that God loves each one of us infinitely and that through his Son Jesus, he comes to bring us that love, to show us that love, so that if we say yes to that love, he can bring us home into the family. And remember St. John in the first letter of John, he said, what we've seen, what we've touched, what we've heard, we come to declare to you that the eternal life that was with the Father has appeared to us. He's given us power to become children of God. We're part of his family now. And they said, we have fellowship with God, God the Father and his Son, and we want you to come and join us in that. It's the Holy Spirit, Jack, that makes that possible. So it's the Holy Spirit who leads us into relationship with our Father, through Christ, and it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the power and the capacity to live a new way of life, to get free from things like pornography, to live like fathers and husbands that are full of God's love and mercy and can lead our families with confidence. We can enter the world with courage and with a great sense of adventure because we're not alone. He said, I will be with you always. And how he's with us is with the Holy Spirit dwelling in us and leading us. So it's absolutely central to what it means to be a Christian. A Christian is someone who's christened by the Holy Spirit, right? We've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit and baptism, and he will be with us. And Jesus really disciples us through the grace of the Holy Spirit to be conformed to who Jesus is, to love like Jesus did, and wherever we are, and especially in our own home.
We're talking to Peter Herbeck, a shining example of a layperson focused on helping others with their faith. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to the Vice President, Director of Missions for Renewal Ministries, Peter Herbeck. Peter, you say that our culture today is a giant teenager. What do you mean?
Yeah, stuck in a kind of stage of perpetual adolescence and, extending adolescence through 20s into our 30s. And the image, for example, we're talking about, being fathers and Father's Day coming up. And my wife and I spend a lot of time working with young people, whether it's high school, college, and young adults. And it's interesting to watch how difficult it is for young men to transition into the responsibility of becoming a man and being confident in being young men and getting married, taking on a wife, and feeling like they have confidence to even engage in that because the culture is blowing it up. What does it even mean to date? And there's a kind of a lot of confusion and a very strange dance that's going on. And the pathways toward maturity are not that clear about how do I become a man and express my manhood. And, of course, the media is perpetually holding up almost an adolescent image of life, and it's all about me, it's all about my experiences, it's all about having fun, very narcissistic and very immature. And it doesn't reinforce, like it used to say, what we respect is a boy becoming a man. We love boys, but we want to see them become men and be confident in their identity to take on a wife and a family, to provide, to protect, to lead, these kinds of things, to sacrifice and to lay down their lives. These are the things we value in the life of the church, and we used to value very openly in our culture. But now what's out there is images of really living a kind of perpetual adolescence, Jack.
Another thing you say is that the dark is getting darker, but the light is getting lighter.
Yeah, that's true. I really believe that right down, the depth of my heart and my bones, you can see it happening. And I think there's no question, everybody knows, we're living through a time of tremendous change. Pope Francis said not only a time of change, but a change of the ages is what we're witnessing. And again, Pope Benedict said, we're watching humanity push God from the human horizon. And when that happens, he said, the light which comes from God begins to go dim. And humanity is beginning to lose its bearings. What he means by that, now think about that. Here we are in society, we don't even know anymore what's a man, what's a woman, what's marriage. All these fundamental things, we're going to determine when life begins, we're going to determine ourselves when life's going to end, we're taking God's prerogatives from him. So there's a lot of darkness there. But I think what's happening is the light of Christ is beginning to shine in this way. It's costing us something now, Jack, more and more in our society to follow Christ. Things we fundamentally believe that we receive from God himself, we've always known and understood, are now considered expressions of human intolerance, whatever it is, being accused of all kinds of things. So there's pushback coming from society in a way we've never experienced it in America. But we're being tested. And the Lord wants to know who's willing to take up their cross and follow him. And that's where the light's coming from. When people are starting to say, some people are just drifting away and say, look, I didn't sign up for this. I don't want people to not like me. I don't want to be opposed to culture in any way. And they're drifting away from the faith. There's a kind of pruning that's going on. And there's others who are really turning more deeply to Christ and living and following him. And that's what Jesus wants. He's searching the earth for men and women, young and old, who are willing to put him first and love him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love their neighbor as Christ loves our neighbor. That's where the light is, right there.
Peter, young person today, you know, putting Christ first, says, Peter, I'm very smart, I work very hard, and I'm doing very good. And I don't need God right now. And when I need God, I'll reach out to him, and he'll be there for me.
Yeah, it's like C.S. Lewis, it's like a paratrooper. He said, I like the parachute, but I hope I never have to use it. You know, the issue is, and every young person should see it, the whole meaning of life is to know God and to follow him and to obey him and find life there and the fullness of life there. You don't know whether when you're going to live or die either. As a young person, you assume you're going to live forever, so we put God on the side. Ultimately, we're headed for eternal life. The question is, where are we going? We're going to meet God. We're going to meet Jesus. And it could happen to you. I don't care if you're 17 and you're listening to this. It could happen to you tomorrow. Are you ready to meet God and give an account for your life? And now's the time that needs to happen for us. So,
speaking of meeting God, as our time winds down this evening, could you lead us in a closing prayer, please?
Be happy to. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, as we in our country look and celebrate the reality of fatherhood, we know that every family in heaven and earth comes from you, and you've named us all, and every man is following in your footsteps and imitating your tender and good fatherhood, your love. And I pray for every man who's listening to this program tonight that he would experience the blessing of your grace as a father, and to know that each man know in his heart that he's highly favored, loved by God, and that you're with us always, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Peter Herbeck, I love listening to you. I thank you for all you do for the whole world. You're a great role model of what a spiritual dynamo is. Please keep up the great work.
Thanks, Jack, and thanks for all that you're doing, brother.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spahom.
Believe in yourself.